Welcome, you guys. Welcome back to some of you. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Wundt Institute, and I've been a practicing relationship and communication expert for about the last 12 years. So, all the work that I am telling you guys about tonight, all the tools I'm teaching you, I have already seen work with thousands of people, and one of those people was me. I found this work when I'm now over 20 years married, but when I was about 10 years married, I found that I was really, really unhappy. And I didn't know exactly why, but I saw an incredible result in a neighbor and a friend of mine. And so I decided to find out what she was doing. And even then, it took me a moment to start up with this work. I was really resistant to traditional therapy. And maybe you guys have had this experience as well, because a lot of times when you go to traditional emotive talk therapy, you talk a lot, and maybe they say some things, maybe they don't say that many things. They reflect back to you maybe what you're saying. But I never found that my life changed, and I had actually been in and out of therapy since I was a kid. So I was very disenchanted with that. This is different. I'm going to start by giving you the background of this work. So I'm going to give you the scientific and psychological underpinnings of it. That's very well established. What's new is what's unique and innovative are the tools to execute on that scholarship. And that's what we're going to focus on most. So I'm going to give you the background, and then the rest of the time, I just want to focus on you guys taking your questions and then applying the theory and the tools to them so that you can get what you want, so that you can get your best result. I honestly have never seen anything work like these tools. Like I said, that's what drew me to them. So this work is very results oriented. It's not always easy. Life is full of pain as it's full of pleasure. That's part of the duality that we're working with here. But change is inherently painful, whether it is change for the good or change for the worse. And so I also help people a lot with identifying if they're experiencing the pain that change needs to take place, or the pain that change is already taking place. Because a lot of times, even with the best therapy, people start making changes and then they're in pain. And they think that that's not well how it's supposed to go. They think something's wrong. And so they stop making changes. And then everything goes back to the way it was before, but it's worse. And so I really help guide people through that pain of change because if you're stopping and starting, you're really causing yourself a lot more suffering than is necessary. There's plenty of pain already here on Earth. We don't need to increase it. Okay, so what is this work about? Why are we here? What are we talking about? The most successful relationships are relationships that are balanced between complementary energies, feminine and masculine, also known as yin and yang. And sometimes I'll use yin and yang just because those terms are a little less charged than feminine and masculine in our society. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what feminine and masculine are. So all of us are both. Okay. That's established by not only the principles of yin and yang, but also by Roger Sperry, who was a Nobel Prize-winning biologist who was the first to identify the hemispheres in the brains of newts. So all of us have this right hemisphere of our brain, which is the yin or feminine energy, which is the seat of creativity, sensuality, sexuality, magic. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. It's passive, patient, vulnerable. It's receiving. It's the world of feelings. And then all of us have this left brain, which is the yang or the masculine energy. And that is Competitive, conquering, controlling, doing, achieving, taking care of. We live in a very masculine society, and most of us are in our masculine when we're at work because that's all about achieving. Okay. Masculine energy is very much of the world. I like to think of the metaphor for masculine energy as a brick and the metaphor for the feminine energy as a flower. All of us are both. One is not better than the other. It's important, though, to understand which side is stronger in you in your personal relationships. And that may change over a lifetime. Oftentimes, people who are born as women inhabit the feminine energy more authentically, and often people who were born as men inhabit the masculine energy authentically. There are brain differences between men and women. However, sometimes, I'd say like 15% to 25% of the time, you'll find a man who's more authentic in his feminine energy and a woman who's more authentic in her masculine energy. And that's fine too. Again, the important thing is you find a partner who balances you out. Why? Because then you avoid the power struggle. You can either have a power struggle for the masculine energy, which is a struggle for control, or you can have a struggle for the feminine energy, which is a struggle for sympathy. But either way, power struggles often lead to the demise of a relationship, right? And so we find that the most successful relationships are those in which the energy is complementary. Now, you don't have to use these tools all the time, but they're very, very, very useful in awkward situations like first dates and getting to know somebody. And they're very, very useful when you are resolving conflicts. And if you want to have a peaceful relationship, you better get good at knowing how to resolve a conflict. Conflicts aren't resolved by avoiding them. When we avoid conflicts, they grow in power. Okay. Anything you avoid begins to control you. So be very careful about avoiding things. Now, oftentimes when we have problems in relationships, these problems are caused by patterns that we have established as a result of childhood trauma. And that's anything that happened between the ages of 0 to 12 with a big T or a small T. It doesn't matter as much in this context exactly what was done to you, but how you processed what was done to you. Okay? Now, human children are very, very, very dependent on their parents. We don't get born and suddenly have the ability to run off into the forest and find food for ourselves. We end up staying with our parents for a long time sometimes. And usually, right, the societal norm is 18 years. So during that time, we often find we have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to attach to the people who own the refrigerator. And in so doing, this separates us from our innocence. We also form survival conclusions from taking these actions. And these are things that we think are existential truths, but are really strategies of the moment. And we take these conclusions into our adult lives and our relationships, and that's where they begin to wreak havoc. So it's this weird situation where the things that helped you cope, all your coping mechanisms, all your tools that you came up with as a kid to get along with your parents and to get on in the world, those things which caused you to sacrifice or compromise your authenticity, you now, as an adult, often have to abandon because you're strong enough now to be an authentic person and to live more fully, right? Because you're not a kid anymore. Now, a lot of times people aren't able to break these patterns of childhood, and most people really do live the unfulfilled emotional lives that their parents lived. If you're in this room, you have the opportunity to do something different. Some people don't want to be the victim of their patterns and the patterns of their ancestors. And that's really who this work is for. I often say this work is for alphas. Alphas mean you have a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side. And those two sides are often arguing with one another. And that's where these tools really help and come in, giving you a rubric to make decisions that are in line with your own integrity. Okay, I'm throwing out a lot of technical terms and words, so if it's your first night, don't stress. A lot of this work is learned by repetition, and you will understand things more when we get into the questions, which I'm gonna start up now. So if you have a question, raise your hand and I'll unmute you. You can also put something in the chat. I love to hear your updates because, we take this work, we go out in the field and we use it. And then when you come back and share it, it just sinks in that much more deeply. Plus, the whole point of having a group and the advantage of having a group is that we get to learn from each other. And so often we think we have nothing in common with the other people in the room, and it turns out that, we're absolutely wrong, that everybody's telling our story. You can ask about dating, you can ask about relationships. Those are my specialties, but people use these tools everywhere. We had somebody in the group recently who I had only worked with on dating and relationships, and then used the tools on her mom and had a really good success. So these tools also work for family relationships, any kinds of communication problems or conflicts. And you can ask something specific about your life, or you can ask, a general question if you weren't sure about some of the things that I laid out at the beginning. I know sometimes it's hard to share in a group of strangers, but oh, good. Sometimes it's easier. Hi, Betsy.
Hello.
Welcome back. You sound like you're all better now.
Oh my gosh, I'm doing so good. Yeah, I'm really loving this group.
Good.
I appreciate the I don't know, I appreciate the approach. And so I took your advice and I wrote the letter
Oh,
that
great.
you recommended. So I was dating a guy, for a year. He
Right.
ghosted
And
me,
you wrote
didn't
him a
even break up
high-line
with
letter.
me.
Right.
Yeah, I did not give it to him, but
Right. I said, don't give it, wait till 8 weeks.
yeah. In the meantime, it's funny because, I really wanted him to reach out. I was just pleading and begging with spirit to
How
have
many weeks
him
has
reach
it
out to
been?
me. 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay.
So yesterday I had a good day. The last 2 days I was feeling really good, and I'm like, hey, I think I'm gonna be okay. I got on, you said, you should be flirting with other guys,
Yes.
talking to other guys. I live out in the country, so I got on an app and I just started kind of chatting with some really nice men. I haven't gone on any dates, but it just kind of helped move some
Yes.
energy.
Yes.
Meanwhile, also, what's really ironic is I'm going through some health stuff and I had to get a blood test, and it showed that I was really high in testosterone, like above. Not like above the highest number. And
Right.
because I've been chasing him.
Yes, I think that does align with that.
And
You've been having, you've been pushed into your masculine energy.
And so I thought that was funny, but
Yeah,
I
I
really
you know,
started to
I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, of course, and
Yeah.
like I want to be feminine. Like I'm not like a total girly girl, but I prefer to be in feminine energy.
Yes.
So the past couple of days I've been feeling good. I've been getting out more and socializing more. And then today happens to be my birthday, and
Happy birthday.
thanks. And he called me at 9 a.m. this morning and left a voicemail.
Like you thought he was going to reach out.
I didn't answer it. I didn't even listen to the voicemail.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
I'm like, no, you're not gonna ruin my day. You're
Yeah.
especially not gonna ruin my birthday. I'm not at your beck and call anymore. And so I don't want to be a total, hard ass, but part of me wants to be kind and loving and be like, hello, nice to hear from you. How are you? But the other part of me kind of wants to be like, F you, I'm over it. And so I don't really know at this point if I should respond or how I should respond.
Right, because you're up against your own vision of yourself as a nice person. And you don't upset him. And I completely understand that. And I want to tell you a little anecdote. Okay. So I am same as you, where I really wanted to stand up for myself, but I didn't want to be perceived as a mean person. And I didn't want to see myself as what I thought would define a mean person. And I always swim at this public pool, and I used to bring a lot of my toiletries, and a lot of them were expensive toiletries. And so people would always ask me to use my toiletries, and I would let them because I didn't want to be a mean person. But inside me, I was building resentment, and I was really, really mad. And I had just started doing this work. And I knew that if I wanted to be true to myself and stay in my integrity, I was going to have to cherish my own feelings, not count on other people to do it, and say no when someone asked me to use my stuff. So it happened again. And I still said yes, but I was mean about it. I was like, ah. And after that day, I never said yes again, and no one ever asked me again because I was so positive and I was so mad. And that's what will happen. You'll be over him and he'll call again. I bet you that will happen with this guy because of how gamey he's been. So I'll just lodge, we'll put a pin in that. We'll see if that happens. But
So
listen,
don't call
no, I
back.
mean, you got to put yourself first. Don't feel bad about being selfish. Women are, we need to feel good to do good. So if you don't feel good, you're not going to be doing good. He hasn't cherished your feelings. So you're not obligated to be polite to him. I mean, I understand why you didn't listen to the message because the sound of his voice could be enraging or make you sad or whatever. So I'm like, don't message,
Sad.
don't. Don't listen to it. If he's really desperate to get a hold of you, he'll call you again. He'll reach out again. He'll text you a message. So I would just assume it's the usual birthday thing. Happy birthday, Betsy. Hope you have a great day. Call me later.
I'm not your bro.
Yeah, exactly. And I would just, carry on. I like that you got on the apps and you're already seeing there's other kinds of men out there. And, this is more, this isn't, we already know Betsy's a nice person, right? So this is more of a moment to show that you know how to take care of yourself, that you're nice to yourself, that you're okay putting yourself first. I want to see you exhibit some selfishness because what happens to women who aren't selfish enough is often they get sick at around 50, 55, 60. And
Yeah, that's what's happening.
right. This is the profile of a cancer patient. So we don't want that for you.
No.
And as you've already seen, there's such a strong body-mind connection. I mean, in my view, there's really no separation. And if you want to read more about that, the work of Gabor Mate is really, really, really good. But
All
excellent.
right.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing great. And, it's okay to be lonely because loneliness is going to be a beacon for the new person. And really try not to reach out to him for 8 weeks. Like I said, if you want, you can read me the letter, we can talk about it, but just sit on your hands, bite your tongue, just try to wait the 8 weeks. Okay. Good
Okay,
work.
thanks.
Good job. You're welcome. I'm proud of you. And if you can do in-person flirting, that's good too. I know you said you live in the country, but maybe
I'll
once a,
try.
yeah, maybe once a week or something.
I just if I date if I go on a date with someone and it's clicks, then there's a second date, and I don't really I'm not I don't want a relationship just yet, so I kind of want to be clear about that.
Why don't you want a relationship yet?
Because
What are
I'm
your...
having a lot of fun being single.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I want my single bubble for a little while.
Right. I got it. Okay. Sounds good.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. You could still continue to be single, even if you met someone you liked. I just don't want you to hold back from getting what you want. That's all. And
Got it.
sometimes self-care masks like self-sabotage. So that's all. Okay, Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Thank you. Can you hear me? I'm driving. Can
Yeah,
you?
it's a little fuzzy, but yeah.
Okay. Let me see if I can get off of this Bluetooth thing. That one and then this one. Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, it's quieter though.
Okay. So, I just wanted to get your feedback on a story that I shared before.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, but there was this guy who is like he's at the top of the game in his job. He's like he does really like he's just like
Yes,
a
this guy
manly.
you've been obsessed with. Yes.
Yes. But he's like a manly man, but I know I'm not spiraling over him. It's just a development that happened. So
Okay.
what happened was I got really I don't know, upset. I don't know the right word. It something didn't feel right because the thing is that we're friends, right? He and I, that's it. We're not in a relationship. But the thing is, I noticed
Well, you
every
are.
time,
If you're friends, you're in a friendship.
right? But
Okay.
every time we talk, every time he and I talk, it's the way he talks. It's kind of like he talks to me in the way that his friends would want to talk to me, like what would want him to talk to me. It's like censor. It's like he's talking to me as if it's not actually me. He's talking to the person that his friends say that I am,
What do you,
not me.
how so?
Well, he's just not like he's kind of standoffish sometimes. He's hot and cold. He doesn't have a lot of time for me. I don't know how to describe it,
Okay,
Chloe.
so recently that's how he's been.
Well, recently for the past few months.
Okay.
I told you, remember I told you there was a female friend who's in her masculine energy who's around him.
Right, chasing
And
him and all
well,
over
and she,
him.
yeah, she's well, supposedly they're friends like for a long time. And then she thinks she's his closest female friend, I mean, in her mind. And then he has a male friend whom they're like they both have something in common. They're both in the Army, Marines, whatever. Not together. They just have that in common. So he has this buddy of his, and so these two characters are have been slandering me for years. This has been going on for over 5 years. I want to say if I had to guess, I'd say 6 years or
How
longer.
do you know all that? He tells you?
Because no, he didn't tell me. Because I know them for that long, and that's how long this like his treatment has like I mean, there was a time where I finally convinced him like what they're saying is not true, and I thought he believed me, but then I don't know, he just reverted to whatever his friends were telling him. So
Okay,
I
well.
basically sent him an email. Okay, I sent him an email. I learned this from this meeting. I sent him a note because he's all about emails. He's constantly checking his email. I said, "Hey, look, I don't know if you're aware, but these are some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. I didn't call anyone out specifically. I was very diplomatic, and I said, this is the stuff that this person is doing, like not like in those words. And I said, I basically give him proof of what was happening. Like I had evidence, okay,
How
of
did you
what
have
was
evidence?
because I caught her up in multiple lies. I caught her up in multiple lies. And
So
I
these are people that are actively in your life that are
yeah, these
talking all
are
this
they're
shit
still,
about you?
and I work with her. See, I work with her.
Okay.
That's the thing. So I could catch her up, right? Because I have evidence. I've saved it. And so I shared that with him, and I said, "Hey, look, I just want to let you know this, and I don't think it serves us well to continue to be in touch, and it's just not working out. And I just want to, I want, I wish all the best for you, and I wish you all the best. And that's all I said. That's all I said. I'm not, it was not an ultimatum. It was just like, look, let's just, it's just not serving us well to be even acquainted with each other. I can't do this anymore." And I basically bounced. And I never expected to hear from him again. Well, I found out later, like maybe the next week, that he was like livid over this. He made some changes in his life. He has now cut off this woman completely, and I have proof of this. He's set boundaries with his male buddy. So, like, they're still quote unquote superficial friends, but he set boundaries. He's cut this woman off, and the reason I know this, like, is because she's constantly hounding him. She's Facebook, like, messaging him, texting him, calling him. He's basically not engaging with her. And the reason I know this is because the minute he cut her off, guess what she did? She started stalking me. And now she's on my case. She thinks she wants revenge. She thinks I'm the reason for all this happening. And I want nothing to do with any of this. And
Okay.
now she's scheduled a 1 hour meeting with me because we work together, she and I, on next Tuesday. And I cannot even sleep because I don't even know. I know her agenda. I know what she wants. She wants to catch me up, trip me up,
Is she your boss?
yeah, she is. And she wants to get into my head. So what she told me, she was very rude in the email. She's like, "Elizabeth, send me, oh, well, she's like, to make our meeting more productive, send me all your tasks that you're working on up for April, all of April, and whatever you got for May, and send them to me in advance of the meeting. Thank you." And that's all she said. And then I was like, "Why?" And then it's an hour meeting. It's like, if I send you all this stuff in advance, there's nothing to talk about. We don't need an hour. Okay? We need like 5 minutes if it's
Okay, let
already
me
written
stop
out.
you for a second. Let me stop you for a second. Okay, so a few things here. I do super appreciate that you finally expressed yourself, and I think that that was overall a good thing. However, putting something in writing is so permanent in this day and age. Especially since this is a work situation, I would have advised you not to do that in an email. But whatever, it's done. What was your goal in sending the email other than just expressing yourself?
Well, I mean, I just like it's just very hurtful for me to even deal with him the way he is because he's so heavily influenced by this woman, first of all, and whoever his other friend is, I
But
don't.
now you're okay, but I just want you to take it one step further because now you're embroiled in another situation. You said you don't want anything to do with this woman, but by writing him an email about the woman, now you're having an hour meeting with the woman. Now you're under fire. Now you're in danger of losing your job.
No, I'm not in danger of losing
No?
my job because I have proof of what I mean, I'm competent. I have proof of what I've done. And not only that, she can't get into my head if I don't allow it.
Okay, I
So
just, in my world, if somebody's your boss, they can fire you. So,
she can't. She doesn't have the authority.
oh, okay, then okay.
Like it would have to go to upper management. Like it she doesn't have the authority. And she's already in trouble as it is for her own whatever. She's caught up in a bunch of other problems.
Okay, I would just,
So,
she sounds really toxic. That's what is my point. And I don't know if it's in your best interest. Maybe it is. Maybe this is how you want to spend your time. But I don't know if it's in your best interest to get further engaged with her.
no, but the thing is, I know I finally figured out why exactly she wants this time with me. This is just a front. It's not, we're not meeting to talk about my stuff, my work. we're meeting to talk about how she can because what she's been doing is, because remember how I said she's masculine in her masculine energy?
But I
She
mean,
wants to know, what exactly is Elizabeth doing that she's getting this guy's attention. That's what she wants to know. Like, she wants to basically see what I'm doing, study me for an hour, and copy my essence and become me so she can get his interest. You know, she doesn't have like a
a
mom.
lot of this sounds like, how do you know?
Because that's what she's been doing for
Okay.
years. She's like, how do I talk? What do
But
I
there's too
say?
much focus on her.
I'm not focusing on her. She's
You
focusing
are.
on me.
No, you are. But you're taking the bait. That's what I'm telling you.
So what do I need to do?
At a certain point, you have to decide that, like, stop pleading your case with these people.
Okay.
But I mean, if you want to, I guess you can. I don't know. A lot of it's really confusing to me that you're saying because I don't know how you would possibly know the level of detail that you're imparting. So either you have another source and I'm just not understanding, or I'm not filled in on all the information, or you're projecting that onto her and it may or may not be true, because when we think something's happening, we can easily find the proof that it's happening. Easily. If we're scripted, we can find anything, we can find things to fit it. And so I'm concerned at how much this is coming from exactly what you're telling me, and how much is possibly a projection. And then finally, you've already told me that you don't like this woman, you can't stand this woman, you hate this woman, but you have spent a lot of time just with me talking about this woman. I feel like I know her very well. So at a certain point, where you put your time and attention is what you care about.
Okay.
I'm thinking you care a lot about her, even though you say telling me you don't. But you've told me about her a lot. You've talked to me about her a lot. You're
Yeah,
spending a lot of
I
time
guess.
on her. Now you're having an hour meeting with her. That's why I asked you, what was your goal in sending the email? Because to me, the email, and if you had been working with me in that moment, and I totally understand, I hope you don't think I'm shitting on you for making a mistake or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is totally normal. I actually did a very similar thing out. I started with this work. I thought I knew a lot of stuff, and I sent out a letter, and it was really bad, and it kind of got me in more trouble. Then I understood, like, a little later why that was bad or why it didn't serve me. That's all. And so I just want to get down to what you want and what your actions are and whether they serve you. So to me, sending the letter to the guy, first of all, I don't see what the reason was for doing it, except for expressing yourself. Now, I do understand that sometimes if you don't immediately express yourself, you get worried, or I get worried, or anyone gets worried about ever expressing it, because you have the courage in that
Well,
moment, and so you want to do it.
the only other option would be just to continue in the charade. I mean, it's my
No, no,
life.
no, no, no,
I
no,
don't.
no. I'm not saying never express yourself. I'm saying set an appointment. Do it in person, at least over the phone, so you can get his
Well, I've
reactions.
done that. Yeah, I've done that before, and he plays, he's like, what does he do? He's very diplomatic, right? So you never know what he's thinking, and he plays both sides because he wants
Okay, so
like
I'm going to
everyone in
ask
his
you again,
life.
what was the goal of the email?
The goal was, I guess, to express myself and set boundaries. I'm standing up for myself and setting boundaries. Now he
Okay.
can do whatever he wants. I don't care if he exits my life, but I
Okay.
can't put up with this. So
Okay.
that was the goal. And
Okay.
I know I risk losing him. That's fine. I no longer care because guess what? I have the five flirts. I know what it
Good.
takes to find a guy.
Yes.
So I am empowered in that. But now I'm stuck in another situation. I don't know. I'll have to think about it, like the best approach to deal with this person. I'm thinking I'm just going to be very emotionless and just kind of like nonchalant and just not like, not give her a reaction that she's looking for. And then circle everything back, bring everything back to work, like whatever else she wants to talk about,
Yeah, I would not get to definitely don't take the bait into getting engaged in some kind of personal conversation.
what do I do with this? What she does is like at the beginning of the meeting, she'll say, "Well, what did you do this weekend?" She's super fake nice. She'll be like, "What did you do? How was your weekend?" And then I'll say, "Yeah, it was good." She's gonna want to know like details about what I did, and then once she figures that out, she'll find a way to use that against me. Okay? Like it doesn't matter. I could say anything. I could say, "Well, I was basically, at home cleaning." Or I went out with a friend, she'll find the way to use that against me. It doesn't matter what I say, she will be twisting my words left and right.
Okay, I understand. That's again why I said, writing an email about somebody and doing that is going to encourage just you're engaging with her energy a lot. That's what, you know what I'm saying? If you don't want to be engaged with her, don't pay any attention to her. Go into the meeting. I would do, if you can do it, I would mimic her. I would do right back to her what she does to me. I had a great weekend. Yeah, I play tennis. Do what you say, whatever the hell you want. You don't care about this person. You kind of are saying that you're worried she's gonna, I'm like not quite clear. She either has power over you or she doesn't have power over you.
She doesn't have authority to hire or fire. She doesn't have that much authority. She just has like a title, okay, that she's over me,
Oh,
and
okay.
she's abusing that power to
Right.
her full advantage.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, documenting all that is good. I think overall, like going after somebody or being vengeful or seeking revenge is usually a fool's errand. And there's like there's fairy tales where it turns out great, but usually it just ends up again that you're spending a lot of time and energy on somebody that you ultimately don't really care about.
What did you mean by you would turn it around on her, like mimic her? Can you explain that?
Well, you're telling me that she's being really fake and gamey, right? And you're at work. So it's not like you have like a huge thing. You obviously, I'm assuming you don't think you can just go, no, I don't want to meet with you.
No, I can't. I have to
Okay.
meet with her.
Okay. So then I would just turn it around on her. I would just beat her at her own game. I would just do it to her. Just because she wants personal information doesn't mean you have to give it to her, you know?
Oh, okay. So
And
just
just
kind
be
of.
like her. You said she's really fake nice. Can you be fake nice?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so you be fake nice. So you guys would be fake nice to each other. You know, and just don't, even if she pesters you, you don't have to give up any information. You're smarter than she is. You know, and then just start directing your energy elsewhere. You know, you got very triangulated in this situation with this guy and this woman and this other guy. And, I know you want, and I appreciate that you want to set your boundaries. And I'm really proud of you for taking this stand. You know, I just want to let you know that, like, he may reach out. And so you're going to have to, you might have to address that question again. You don't always have to talk to the person to have closure. You can get that closure. It's kind of like, hey, I'm never talking to you again. You know, it's
Right.
just don't talk to him again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell him that. But I'm proud of you for standing up for yourself and for expressing yourself. And I know that was a really big step, and I'm sure you were sweating through it. So kudos to you for that. And now let's just try to minimize like the, collateral damage from it and
Okay.
move on in a different direction.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And you guys, I'm also available for private sessions. And even if you're in crisis, like reach out to me, try me. Maybe I'll be available. Maybe we can set something up in that moment. I'll book in 15 minutes for people in this group. I do like people to have a little bit of knowledge about this work, but if you're in this group, we can sometimes get away with a shorter meeting. Okay. Juliet, did you have a question? I know you had your hand up earlier.
Actually, I was debating whether it was a little too personal, but it's okay.
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah, well, first off, I took your advice and I texted my boyfriend saying I just couldn't continue with him, and I haven't spoken to him since. It's only been about a week, but if I feel really good about it, and he hasn't responded at all, so.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, that's right. No response is a response, right? So,
Yeah.
okay, good. Excellent. Excellent work. Wow, good. You and Betsy and Elizabeth. This is like we have a theme tonight.
So that's not my question, though.
Oh, okay. I just want
I
to
don't
say
know.
that, like, you guys, I know that's a hard step to take, and that in the, it's hard to do it, and then you do it and you feel victorious, and then there's other moments where you feel kind of lonely, and just to hang in there with it, that you will, if you hang in there, you will absolutely level up, and the next guy will be better. Okay? That's what this is about. Like, that's what the point of expressing yourself, if there, I mean, it's a point in and of itself, of course. But what you do when you do that is you tell the universe that you want something better and you're not going to settle for less. And so that's the energetic value of it. Okay, ask your question.
Okay, well, my question, I actually might be jumping the gun on asking this question at this point because I've been single for like 7 years. I haven't dated anyone.
Just go ahead.
But anyway, my question is the fact that in the past, I've been in relationships long term. And then when it comes to committing, I get scared and I run away and I sabotage the relationship. So I guess what would you say to a commitment phobe that sabotages
Right. Yeah.
relationships?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a few issues. I mean, without knowing all the specifics of each situation, for you, the key moment is going to be, yes, getting into another relationship. But then when you have that feeling where you know you're getting nervous, that's when you need support. That's when you have to reach out to me, to somebody. That's the moment that we have to take a different action than what you've been taking. So everything we can prepare for that moment to a certain degree, but a lot of that preparation is going to be raising your awareness so that when it about your own feelings, so that when your feelings start to creep up and those feelings to run and that desire to run it starts to creep up, that's when we need to interfere. It's in that moment that you have the most power to make a change. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, don't hesitate. Get in your relationships, guys. It's like that's how you heal, is in the context of your relationship. So many people are like, I'm not healed enough and I can't be in a relationship. And I understand sometimes you need a break, but overall, the healing usually takes place in the context of the relationship. So, we'll have to address that. We'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it, like you kind of said already. But the other thing is that just in general, since you've now s recognized that as a pattern, oh, somebody's in the waiting room. Since you've now recognized that as a pattern, I would say, see if it comes up again in a different context. See if there are things that you are sabotaging, maybe smaller things, or how are you getting in the way of your own happiness? How are you telling yourself you don't deserve happiness? Because a lot of times when we've had childhood trauma and we get opportunities or someone offers us something good, we don't want to take it because we don't want the other shoe to drop and we'd rather not hope for something than hope for something and get disappointed again. I was working with the client recently who had gotten she's something completely up her alley. It was and this happens a lot when I work with people. A lot of times I work with people on relationships and then they get a new job or something. And this happened with her. So we've been working on her relationship stuff, and then she got a job offer that is so up her alley, like all her interests, everything, and she turned it down. She said no. And I was like, the second we get off, you email them, see if it's not too late, call them, do something. And I don't know what's happened yet. I have a point with her coming up. I'm excited. But you have to make sure that you're not turning away good things. because you don't want to experience bad things. This is what we have down here on planet Earth. If we're going to have good things, we're going to have bad things. We're going to have all the things. And so I would just be wary of that. I'll give you another example. When I was pregnant, and this was before I did, found this work, I was pregnant and my husband wanted to do a ceremony. I usually don't talk that much about myself, but tonight's an exception. My husband wanted to do a ceremony where he put all these flower petals around me, and we had this, and I absolutely vetoed it and said no. That would be too embarrassing. And, I just ruined that experience for myself. It was just stupid for me to do that. Later, I realized that, but, that moment was gone. And you just don't want to get in the way of your own joy and your own happiness. And now, a lot of this work is about learning how to adjust to joy because after a childhood of trauma, we become addicted to pain. And it's a comfort to us because it's familiar. And so that takes a little bit more work. That takes a little bit more vigilance. So, just from what you've described, I would say those are probably some of the issues that you're dealing with. Does that resonate, Juliet?
Yeah, it makes sense,
Okay.
especially being addicted to pain, I think.
Yes. And here, I'm going to put my credentials back in the chat. I talk about there's a whole chapter on pain addiction in my first book, if you guys want to check out that out. And we get really detailed on this work in these modules. I'm starting a module 3 this weekend. I'm so excited because that's kind of like the advanced class, but I teach 3 modules and I mostly teach the 4 books that I wrote. Okay. Does anybody else have a question or a comment? I will be here next week. You can reach me through my website or on Meetup, Instagram. These are all my handles I put into the chat. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. As I said, I teach this work. I like to work in groups, but I also love the individual work because we go very deep in those sessions. So if I don't hear from you, I will see you back here next week. Have a good night.